And good afternoon. Welcome to Torn the Two for this November the 17th. Can you believe we're saying that? November 17th, 2023. I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts, the show that brings you news, information, and more. How you doing, people? Just to let you know before I bring my co-host in, there will be no show next week because we want you guys to spend time with your family. That means I need to do the same thing. With that said, put your hands together for Pastor Melvin C. Burns II. Brother, the crowd goes wild.
Brother Gregory T., how you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, brother.
Good. Another week, brother.
Yes, sir.
A lot of good things going on. A lot of good things.
Yes.
I want to talk just real quickly. There are a lot of organizations giving away tomorrow, for instance. We're giving away Colts Tuesday at 12:15 at the radio station. We'll be giving away turkeys, meals, and more. Yeah. And there are other organizations that are doing the same. If you are starving, cold, wet, whatever, get the help. Get these items because people are out there trying to provide it. Pastor Burns, anything else?
The City Heart Ministry, Saturday, 1 to 3, Colts and dinner.
Okay.
I see we were just talking about the number of places around the community. So no judgment. If your car is 2023, just come by and get the Colts and people at offer them. Don't worry about people. They'll think about you if you're on the street or if you're in the penthouse. Just come by.
Yeah, just come by. You know, just come by. So with that said, why don't you give us the weather? Let me get this information out. If you're watching the show, if you're listening to the show by radio and you would like to find out more, you would like to watch the show, you can always, we announce this, that you can go back to WVS 103.7 The Beat and M106 Facebook sites, our media sites, our YouTube sites. And you can watch the show if you have time to get to, maybe you want to watch the show on your phone, get to those sites as well. And also the Emoji app, the shows repeat themselves. Speaking of repeat themselves, what's going on with the weather?
Weather today is, we've been out, it's a beautiful sunny fall day. We expect a high of 57 degrees today. Tomorrow, another sunny day, and even Sunday, high Saturday of 49, high Sunday of 50. So good chance to get all that yard work done, get those leaves up.
Not mine.
Monday, a low of 34, high of 46. Tuesday, 30% chance of rain, low 35, high 47. As you begin the holiday, it looks like it'll be dry Wednesday, low 32, high 39. And again, partially sunny on Thursday, but dry, low 31, high 38. So you'll need a blanket, a nice coat, maybe an extra blanket, but no additional precipitation expected at the time.
It's about to go down.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, the temperature and stuff, it's about to go down. So this is going to be that last day that you can get it in.
Yeah.
And so, with that said, we have a special guest who is returning for his second time on the show. And it's great that he's willing to come on the show.
Yes.
And update us with the information with Muskegon Public Schools. Put your hands together. Back from his show in Europe, Mr. Matthew Cortez.
Hey, Mr. Roberts, Pastor Burns, how you guys been? Good?
Good. Good to see you.
Good. How you doing,
Good to
sir?
See you guys. I am doing well, you know.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
So, yes, we do.
Okay, so why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself again, and then we'll get into the questions.
A little bit about what's happening right now in the district.
Getting
ready to go into Thanksgiving.
Yeah, how about a little bit about you?
Oh, a little bit about me. About youngest of eight kids, born in the suburbs of Detroit. We had a meager upbringing as a bunch of kids. My parents, my dad was a truck driver. My mom stayed home with us. So that's what really empowered me to want to help urban education out in economically disadvantaged areas. Started my career in Detroit. I went over to Adrian, then I worked outside of Flint. I worked in Monroe schools and then outside of Bay City. And then I came over here because the West Side is the best side.
The West Side, you got that right. What's up? All right. The West Side is the best side. Okay. So we got a lot of questions. Let's get at it. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
I did what we've been telling people to do. Go to meetings. Go to meetings. And so I had a chance, a very special meeting, because it was the school board and the city council. And that was great to see that collaboration. But there's a lot of things that were brought up in that meeting. The first things I want to talk about, there's some changes that will be probably happening with Nelson School and Steele School. So let's talk about that.
Okay, well, Nelson's the easier one. So right now, both of these schools have students in them for this school year. So they are going to be occupied all the way until the summertime, just so you guys know.
Okay.
Nelson, we are partnering with, a proposal came in from General Capital. And General Capital, they did I think it's called the 1020 building in the Berkshire. They are creating affordable housing out of the actual school. The district will maintain ownership of the soccer field and the playground that are part of Nelson. And we're going to make sure that that playground stays intact for the neighborhood, because that was something that was very important for them. And the other part of what we're doing with Nelson is that affordable housing unit is going to be driven by some tax incentives from Michigan. Mm-hmm. So right now they're applying for those, and right now at the beginning of December they have to apply. If they get those, then we're going to be gung-ho this summer and the transfer will take place and they'll begin construction. If they don't, they have another chance in October of next year to do it. But the important part to us is, one, we don't want to just destroy buildings, especially if they're historic. We would like to see them kept intact, and that is something that that they're really dedicated to. The other part of it is we need housing. There is a huge critical shortage of housing that is affordable for people in our areas, and we know that. That's part of the items we talk about with the city at the common meeting. And as far as Steele is concerned, I have a meeting this December. I'm going to the Steele neighborhood meeting this December I think it's December 6th or something like that, to talk to them and get their input about what would they like to see happen at the Steele property. What are some of the neighborhood groups' priorities? This is kind of the same exact pattern I did with the Nelson neighborhood. And I take notes and try and respect that. Then we're going to do what's called an RFP process, a request for proposals. Mm-hmm. And I've already got multiple groups that are interested in it. Pastor Burns, you might know there's a religious group of pastors that come together and they're talking about housing for veterans and things of that nature. We have Richard Thorpe with Q9 Development. He is very interested in creating affordable housing there. And actually, part of his idea, I'm thinking, is like a community center as well. But what we don't want is to just level the building and leave, and we're not going to leave a blighted building behind. Mm-hmm. So at a minimum, our bond will level the building and return it to flat land. But I don't want to take an asset away from the neighborhood if we can transform that asset to make the neighborhood better and to add places for people to live in our community.
Now, they talked about maintaining the... Is it possible that Nelson will be torn down, or they're going to work with the building?
No, they're not actually, they're not changing any of the footprint at all. They're just going to change the inside. So the entire historical side, actually what they're going to do is those tall three-story windows that were part of that library on the backside that are paneled in and everything, that stuff's going to start getting restored back to original look.
Okay.
It's going to look tremendous. If you look at our new middle school that's under construction, the academic wing is the brick wing with the tall windows. That's actually a tribute to Nelson and the heritage that Nelson played in our district. So,
okay.
How old is Nelson School, do you?
Well, part of it was built in the 50s. The older part was built in the early 20s.
Okay.
So it's just, I think it might even be a little bit older than the main high school.
Okay.
And if you look at what happened to Craig School, I mean, there's some things that can happen to old school buildings without tearing them down.
Correct. Like that was a tremendous transition center. I think the city, even though we haven't owned Frebel for a while, but the city is working with a company to do some affordable housing at Frebel as well and transform that. I looked around and I saw the prediction, you know, I saw what happened in the past when we left buildings, and I am not going to do that on my watch. I am not going to allow light to occur. That is something that I am wholeheartedly dedicated against. Because, you know, being a citizen of the city, having my kids in the city and my wife in the city, I don't want light in the city. I want everybody to be able to have an affordable living in our city. And that's very important. I saw you at the meeting with the city, and we do that once a year. So this year, last year, we hosted it as a district, and this year the city hosted it. But more importantly, my administrative team and the city administration team, we sit down every quarter. So we sit down four times a year, and we just talk about what's happening, what are some different avenues, where can we partner, things of that nature. Our relationship has grown exponentially in the last 2 years. It's been tremendous.
That's right.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what do you feel is the most positive thing that came out of that joint meeting?
I just think it's when I interviewed to be superintendent, I tried explaining in my interview that Muskegon Schools wasn't playing the pillar of the community the way it needed to.
Okay.
Like we weren't being one of those main strong pillars to help people and to educate. You know, and I think we just kind of getting overwhelmed a little bit. And I vowed that I wanted that back. I wanted our school district reinjected into our community, and I wanted to become one of those pillars. And that meeting, I think it was 2 weeks ago, right?
Right.
Ago. And in that meeting is the first time that I truly felt that we've started reclaiming that pillar as part of the community. And I think it's tremendous. I think we can do quite a bit of great things together, not only with the city, but you know, using our community and all the resources in it.
Now, the new middle school, how's it going, and when will we be able to take a tour of that middle school?
The middle school is going great. It is going to open for actual educational purposes in the fall of 24. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to move halfway through the year, three quarters of the way through the year. That's not really a good idea. But what is going to happen is we're hoping by the end of March that we're going to have most of the building be done, the furniture in. We'll be doing punch lists still. But our plan is we are going to put together some celebrations as well as public tours and tours of different groups of students in our families, but we also have some public work that can come through, and we'll have to go through the building, kind of just explain the thinking behind it and the design. And it's very purposeful design, I will say that. So,
okay. We had some of the questions that I've been given given already. What are your thoughts on the current state of the music program, and what do you feel that can be done to strengthen it?
Well, I think that our music program right now is it's in what I would call a rebuilding phase. Okay. We had a situation where our boosters lost their 501c3 status, and they are working to gain that status back. We also had a turnover of three positions in the music department, and we've been very fortunate that we are able to replace those positions. And I think what we need to do is Hope Spa is our new director, of all of our music, our band. We really need to get behind her, and our community is solidly behind it. I don't know if anybody saw the trailer that's sitting on the side of Sanford right near the building. So we had a semi-trailer that we took down to the summer camp down at Hope College, and that trailer is ancient. The airlines were rotten on it. It wasn't doing us any good. It had to be pulled by a semi because it was a big semi-trailer. On a Friday afternoon, I said, you know what? I'm going to make a couple phone calls into the community and see what I can do. Within 3 or 4 days, they had $20,000 donated for us to get that trailer.
Nice.
None of the people that were involved wanted their names on the trailer, even though I offered it. So on the back, you'll see, you know, thanks to our community organizations and community members that donated money. And then you'll only see two logos on the back. One is the trailer company that we bought the trailer from, because they're a local company and they make a tremendous deal. And then the other one is Source One Digital. They are the ones that created the wrap that wraps the entire trailer to make it look so nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that meeting, you discussed that there's going to be some changes with Muskegon Public Schools. The buildings, two red buildings close to the field, eventually will be torn down.
Correct. So you're talking about the old heat plant?
Yes.
Which is the big three-story where the old coal boilers used to be. So we are going to be taking that down and returning it hopefully to green space. And then the other is what we call our cold storage building, which is the little building between the cafeteria area and the heat plant. And we're looking at different scenarios with that about preserving some of it, because we do need that storage. Some for lawn equipment, but our band uses that for storage on quite a few things. And so we're either going to keep that building and restore the flat roof part of it, or we're going to probably look at putting a new place right there, but it would be a kind of like a pole barn style, kind of like, you know how the stone is on the new Dollar General on Lakeden?
Like, right.
Pole barn style, but it looks really nice because it's stone. So the board has yet to make a final decision. We presented some information earlier this month, and we'll be talking about it again and answering any questions they had. So then the only other building is the old J building, which is the building I'm in right now. That's why there's a blackboard behind me. You have to smile, have you? This is also going to be coming down because the small parking lot along Washington is actually going to wrap up the hill and double in size, because that'll become the main parking lot for the high school central office, so that it's easier access, because now the main entrance is that courtyard off the band practice courtyard.
Mm-hmm. Another question: does the district have a measurable goal for rate of students' participation in the arts? If not, why not? If so, what are the mechanisms to place and encourage art participation?
So one of the things, so when we talk about measuring participation in the arts, it's never enough, right? We know all the studies behind the brain, and that playing an instrument, being an artist, it activates areas that formal education doesn't activate, and it makes people able to learn more and remember more.
Thank you.
So it's a huge part for me. My daughter was part of a choir when she was in high school. That was before I came over here. And she just excelled at that. So this is a program, we want to build it. We want to continue to put our resources into it. Right now, like, our class sizes are small. They are. Sometimes that's the flow. Sometimes you graduate a lot of kids. Sometimes kids don't come, you know, when you go through a change of directorship like we did, there's a flux of kids. And some of the kids are like, am I going to like the director? Am I not? And they have to take that. I think we're going to see a growth pattern moving forward, especially in our marching band. I also know that at that twin meeting that we were at, there is an alumni association station there that, you know, they want they want to help back us up. They want to help us through this. And they really are invested in making this program work. In fact, 2 years ago, $100,000 donation, class of 1985, to open up instrumental music back at the elementary school. We're doing that. We're getting the instruments right now. We're getting those classes open back up. We started it last year. We're continuing it this year. So we're actually actively trying to expand the program, and we have plenty of service to make it happen out of the staff that we have currently. So we're really excited about it. We really are.
Let me put this rumor to rest. The school books for music, is that something that students have to buy or the school purchase?
It should be something that the school supplies, whether it's copies or whether it's an actual book. You know, there's a couple of things that sometimes kids struggle with. Sometimes there's rental instruments and things like that. We are working to up our instrument numbers as a district. We're also trying to make it so that it's low to no cost pocket through fundraisers and things of that nature with the band, as well as looking at what funding sources we can dedicate. For example, we are buying all brand new uniforms once we get the design done for the entire marching band. And it's regular wear, rain wear, new uniforms for the entire band. Because those were bought a number of years ago. And this is what the part of what the bond had dedicated itself to, is to help the arts out.
Right.
And so we're when you look at the new music space at the middle school, when you take that tour, believe me, seeing is believing. You're going to look around and you're going to be like, dude, they're supporting their art program huge, because we have huge dedicated spaces at the new middle school for not just for the instrumental and, you know, not just for band and orchestra, but we have choir, and then our art room has a huge area up on the second floor. So really, you know, we wanted to put down in the arts, because we need well-rounded students coming out of our schools,
right,
that know what they want to do and that are passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, you know, what are we doing into the future to help artists, you know, we still have the POP program that we're very strong with, very supportive of. But more importantly, we're making transition 6th through 12th grade. And we're partnering with Ford Next Generation Learning. And we're actually going back into what we would call a career exploration and career-based model learning. And so this is going to tie our students into exploring different careers from 6th grade through 9th grade, and then choosing a pathway forward out of some academies, some founding, about what are they interested in. So if you're interested in radio broadcasting, we're probably going to come to you guys, and if we haven't already, try and set up a relationship so we can do some experiences for kids. We can do some internships.
Right.
We can do some co-op jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, we have 70 different businesses in our area that we've already talked to, that we are busy, that Chauncey Williams is busy building those relationships with businesses. That's what we want for our 10th through 11th graders, or 10th and 12th, 10th through 12th. I would love to see half of my seniors not even in my building at certain points of the day, because that means they're out working in a field that they feel passionate about, so that when they walk off of that stage at graduation, it's not just about college or going to the service. It's about, I'm tied to this business in Muskegon, and they're going to invest in me and give me a job right away and help me get my further education and remain right where I'm at, part of my community.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Burns.
You know, I was just going to add, as a parent, you know, when you rent those instruments, I assure you the students practice, and they know how much it costs to rent it, because you always provide them a paying for an instrument, getting there and practice. So that's my, you
know. How important, because the alumni group, we have just, we're all in. How important is that groups come along aside, instead of having pointing out problems, but being part of the solution.
Correct. I think that that is a foundational element that we need to return to as a district, right? Because it's shaken somewhere along the way. I had three or four boosters that were considered band boosters. And I was like, there's so many alumni out there. Why aren't they part of the boosters program? Well, I think there's this perception that you have to be a parent to be a booster, and that's not right. You can be a booster and be an alumni and help out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what we want to energize. We want to get our history to support us in growing our future, because that alumni connection, you can take kids in the band and you have your alumni talking with them and interacting with them, and they look like them, they sound like them. And 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe 20 or 30 for some of us, they were them. And they can see, I can do this. I can make this happen in my life. And that's what we need to do. We need our kids to see themselves in the careers that lie out there that they're interested in. And we can do that through alumni. That's the easiest way to do it, to tell you the truth.
I think the thing, one of the things that we said is very important, that not only do we work with the students, but we walk hand in hand with the parents.
Correct.
To explain and let them know, you know, some of us that not only were banned, but had banned students, to let them know early, right when they get in school, what that means to be a banned parent.
Correct. Right. And I mean, it's, you know, it's that transparency model, right? It's kind of like, you know, you look at our football program. That's one of our most successful programs as a district. Let's just be realistic, right? We start basically right after they start walking, right? And teaching them football, and there's little leagues and there's feeder system. We have to do the same thing with our arts program. You know, we have to nurture, as much as we nurture our kids athletically, we need to nurture them that way educationally, and we need to nurture that part of their artistic spirit the same exact way. And right now, you know, we're not getting it done. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're trying and we're working hard, everybody. There's nobody that's sloughing off. But we have to do better. One of the things that we can do better is to bring our community back in, to bring our alumni back in. We had a dinner for the band, and Mrs. Bruce organized a lot of it and really made it a classy dinner. And over 100 people RSVP'd and said they were going to be there, and 40% of them didn't show up.
Right.
We have to get our parents to show up for our kids. That's why our kids do what they do, right? Kids are always looking at who's raising me, who am I with, and who is it that I want to be proud of me. And it has to extend beyond the surface.
We got to give kudos, major kudos to school board member Billy Bruce. Not only did she did that, I mean, she cooks for the football team. And
they're eating right now. I swear. She cooked tonight and they're eating right now, I'll guarantee it.
Right. But my thoughts is on that is that, you know, she is putting her lumps in. There has got to be other people that I don't think they know that you can come aside and feed the football team. You can, maybe we can start something where we feed the band before. The same thing. But I don't think people know that those chances are out there and are needed.
Well, and it's huge, right? And it's not about money and it's not about food. It's about time.
Yeah.
And time is your most precious element. We're not making any more of it, right? Yeah. So time is very valuable and we do need that. But we also need the people to come forward with these ideas. I tell my administrators, I said, you can bring me problems all day long. Bring a solution with it. Bring an idea with it to address it. There's nothing I'm not willing to try. I am telling you the truth. You look at some of the things that we're doing now, I wouldn't have predicted this superintendent when I came here that, you know, we would have kids in firefighter uniforms working alongside firefighters right now. You know, we have some kids who are out in manufacturing plants. So, you know, until you try it. And you know what? We try stuff and sometimes we fail. And I look at my team and I say, it's okay to fail because from failure comes success, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as we're failing forward, then we're not in that cycle of keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We need to keep moving forward. And we need to bring our alumni, our community, and our kids, and our staff with us. We have a tremendous staff at Muskegon School. I have so many dedicated people, from my bus drivers to my custodians, all the way through teachers, parapros, secretaries. The people that people don't see are the ones that make it run. Everybody sees me and they think, oh, he's doing this. I'm not doing this. Like, there's a whole team behind me that's making this happen. Mm-hmm. So,
Pastor Berman.
Yeah, you know, every school year kind of takes us its own life and character. How would you, I know we're only a few months in, but how would you kind of characterize the school year so far?
I think this school year is like standing on the edge of a cliff, a precipice, because we are ready and willing. Like, this summer is a game-changing summer for our district that has happened in a long time. By the time this summer's over, almost we're going to have only one building left under construction. The rest of them are all going to be completed with construction and finishing up construction. And we're going to have campuses at our middle school and at our high school that are going to set a brand new standard in this county. Right now, everybody's chasing our Hackley Field. They've been doing it for 2 years. They can't seem to catch us. Well, we've got a whole nother campus coming online for our middle school, and it's going to set a brand new standard at that middle school level. It's going to take middle school from being what was traditionally, you know, oh, those middle years, keep them under control and then get them through, to the new slogan that our principal uses, Lakeisha Lauderman, middle school matters. And we're bringing that back to the middle school and making it important.
How important is, you know, because they talk about football, you talk about basketball, and we've been talking about band, but talk about those other small sports and other activities. How important it is that the school district invest in those sports as well?
You know, it's vitally important, right? Because here's the deal. Our soccer teams, our baseball team, our softball team, volleyball, we have to continue to invest equally across the board for kids. From the standpoint of, my son plays football. I'll say that right now. He hasn't taken a snap in a long time. He's been in one snap this year, but he's been injured and had a concussion, but he still comes every day, right? That team, that spirit, that sense of community that gets formed around these teams is tremendous. The baseball team went to a dumpster day in one of the neighborhoods and got $700 in bottle returns because they just brought their cans up and gave it to them because we asked for them. That's the type of thing, like that idea of seeing that charity, feeling that charity. Those are the things that our programs outside of school teach our kid and reinforce in our kid. The fact that I'm only going to do as good as you, Mr. Right? I'm only as good as your radio program is. And I have to depend on you for that. And that's okay. But then I have to be there for you when you need me. And that's something I think that we're starting to recreate in our district. And I think it's important in every sport and in every activity. Our NHS club, for example, you know, we have band, we have students leading students club. I have a lunch club that I sit down with. Want to eat lunch with kids from high school and the middle school to find out what's happening, how are you feeling, what do you want to see, things of that nature. If we don't teach our kids and our children and our students how to be adults, how are they going to get there? They're not. We have to be the teacher.
Best birth.
What do you feel has been the biggest challenge this past couple of months into the school year?
I think attendance has been a challenge for us. I have a very, very energetic and talented young lady in charge. Marie Williams is operating over our attendance and our safety mechanisms in the district from a central office position. And she has really effectively started getting families to understand they need to come back into the school. The importance of their little ones being in the school every day, not just 1 or 2 days, every day. We're not just a daycare, we're not just a cafeteria, right? So now we have to start, and we've been doing modifications on the educational end to get better curriculums, to get toward this project-based learning that we know our students do so well and respond so well to. So we have to transform the way we do our work, because it's not the same as when we're there. When we're there, there's 30 desks lined in rows. You come in, sit down, take notes, okay, ask questions, go out, and then you do it for homework. Those days have come and those days have gone. This generation learns very differently than we do. And to tell you the truth, you know, these things, these cell phones, this is an addiction for a lot of our kids. They can't put them down. They can't, you know, they can't set them down for an hour and a half or 2 hours. They're always there. And we have to learn that it's not about this. Like them looking at their phone, it's not testimony to us as an adult or us as a person. It's a testimony of that's the way they are. And we either have to embrace it, because we're never going to change it. So we have to find a way to embrace it and to teach them the correct way and the proper way of using this technology.
How much of the issues related to, you know, the displacement while the construction is going on? Do you think that'll level off some once you get in those buildings?
I know it will. We live through construction at Bunker and at the high school by shifting people around in the building. And I told myself, I'm never doing that again. Not on a scale with an elementary, you know, that's completely filled. You know, we wouldn't have places to move them. So we were very fortunate. We had Nelson still and we had Moon still. So we were able to actually allow the crews to go into Oakview without anybody there and allow the crews to go to Marquette without anybody there. And, you know, our parents are resilient. I mean, if you want something that's going to describe people in Muskegon, it's resiliency. And they're willing to stick with us. They're like, okay, we can do this for a year. We can do anything for a year. Because at the end of the year, they know what the token is, right? They know that they're going to have a state-of-the-art 21st century facility that's going to better educate their children. And that's part of the reason they said yes to the bonds.
Now, you talked about Moon. There's going to be some changes with Moon School as well.
Correct. So after Oakview goes back to their building next year, we have some decisions to make about Moon. Originally, we had talked about closing Moon down and doing this and that. Well, I think there's ways that we can use Moon that aren't necessarily for an elementary school. We have our MCEC program. We have a 21st century learning program. We have idea of a central library system possibly running out of Moon for all of our elementaries. So there's a few different avenues that we can go down, but I can tell you that I don't like leaving a building sitting empty. So we're gonna put up or shut up and figure out what is the future of that look like. And if we're not gonna be using the building, again, go to the neighborhood meeting and say, what do you guys think? What do you need? What do you want? How can we continue to be a part of the effective part of the community?
Okay. And then as far as that, you talked about the future of learning, the ABC schedule, will that continue the old way of going back to 5 days? Or are we going to continue on like that AB schedule?
So right now, whatever schedule our middle school, our high school and middle school have to have the same schedule. And the reason is because we do share staff between the two buildings. So I just want everybody to know that. But we are going to continue on what's called the AB rotator. And what that is it gives the ability of students to have 6 courses that they go to. They go to 3 in A day and 3 in B day. And it gives them a little bit more time if they have homework or extra activities that they have to do. But at the same time, it actually serves to lower our numbers in classes because with the early dismissal Wednesdays and doing what's called an online achievement hour, and we do 1 hour online achievement hour, there's different ways that students can do it. So one of the huge parts of that is gains us common planning for our entire middle school and our entire high school, which means in the morning, all the teachers are in planning together before the students get there. So they can team together, they can plan together, things of that nature. But one of the most important parts of it is every teacher teaches six classes instead of five. So we just did like an 18% reduction in class size. We just opened up the ability of offering new courses like broadcasting that we're offering, like photojournalism is a course that we're offering. We brought JROTC back this year. So there's a number of new programs and old programs that we're reviving that need to work. Those are the things that we're bringing in that's going to revolutionize it. So you don't have to take gym five times during your 4 years at the school because it's the only thing that's there. You don't have to take ceramics two or three or four times if you don't want to. You know, we give them the variety. The other part is it's the up part. The part where we're partnering with MCC, we're partnering with Michigan State University. We're offering college courses on our campus for students. One of the college courses we're offering right now gives students the ability to be a tutor. So our students tutor our sixth graders, our 11th and 12th graders tutor our sixth graders and help them in the subjects that they're struggling with. At the same time, they're not the older kids are earning college credits. But then when they step out, they're going to have a certificate that says they can be a tutor so that if they go to college or they go and need a job somewhere, they can become a tutor with a certificate and make a higher wage than somebody walking off the street.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got, now, for people that are listening, we're having some audio problems, and I don't know where it's coming from, but the show must go on. All right. In the meeting, you guys mentioned that Muskegon will be adding more to a different way of learning. I'll talk a little bit about that.
So what we're doing is something criminal happened in education across the state about 8-10 years ago. And what happened was everybody had to go to college. There was that message from the Department of Education. From Lansing, it rang through all the districts. There could not be anything farther from the truth. We did a huge disservice, and now you can see that disservice because of the gap we have in our skilled trades, the gap that we have in our service industries, the gap that we have in entrepreneurship and small businesses, things of that nature. What we want to do, we want our district to be what our kids want it to be and what our community needs us to be. And by that, it means we want them to explore multiple careers, not just in skilled trades. It can be in the medical field, it can be in teaching, it can be in police, fire, it can be anything that they want to explore. We want them to explore that now while they're in a sheltered setting like us as a public school. And then as they get older and they get into 9th grade and 10th grade, we want them to say, hey, I want to learn through this lens. For example, I like being a woodworker. I like being a carpenter. So I want to take classes that teach me carpentry and build that skill. And that's the way I learn. I learn by doing and building. So we have courses that are designed in internships, partnerships with trades and unions and contractors that we can get them those experiences in 10th grade. We can get them and externships in 11th and 12th grade, maybe even get them employed in 12th grade in a co-op position where building the relationship with the contractor or the company they're working with, it could be Trinity Health. if they want to become a CNA or a nurse. And then when they step out, they continue that partnership with that company, and that company says, hey, we'll pay for you to go get your CNA certification, or we'll pay for you to go through police academy, or you know, you're graduating, and once you turn 18, you can be a full-fledged firefighter. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. That's the investment that we want to do. We want to take education and actually not have it just static. Use it to help kids understand, how am I a productive citizen? What is the role I want to play, and what do I love to do? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these kids, you can see it, and it's not just us. This is across the entire nation. They go to college, 2 years later, they're back. They don't have a degree. They couldn't find what they love. We have to get them that before they walk out our door, so that we have them ready for their next stage in life, past graduation.
Well, and you just mentioned something, and as a college coach, and I experienced this, was that, and there were some kids that we had this old model thinking that, okay, you graduate from high school, you're going to college. And then they get to college, and they have no parent provision, and they just go buck wild. But some kids are not meant for college.
Correct.
They're meant for other fields. So 1 year in the college, they end up going back home because they end up giving up.
Right. What if they would have been able to make that decision in 11th grade? That's our goal, right? So we want our kids to find out where their passion is. And right now, our kids can't make that decision, because our typical student probably cannot tell you the difference between a plumber and a pipe fitter. And there's a huge difference there. Mm-hmm. Between a carpenter and a millwright. Mm-hmm. Between a nurse and a CNA. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't understand. What does it mean? You want to be a doctor. What does that entail? What type of work? What type of schooling? And we want them to have that information and have the ability of making that decision before it costs them $20,000 or $30,000 for 1 year of school.
Right, right. Pastor Burns.
Yeah. So you, I really like the idea of school, not college. I think this sounded a little bit, but you were saying, I want to make sure I capture what you said. You said 8 or 10 years ago, the idea was that everybody go to college.
Correct.
And moving away from that model. Do you get any pushback against that? Or is that something that's being generally accepted?
Actually, I think it's a movement that's coming across the state. So when I talk about our partnership with Ford Next Generation Learning, we will be the fifth district in the entire state to do this.
Okay.
This is a brand new way forward in the state of Michigan. And for us, look at what's happening in the state of Michigan with autos, with battery plants, with car production, all of this. It's not going to need the workers like they did when we were young, right? Mm-hmm. These guys aren't going to walk off the graduation stage to get a factory job. You need a skill set. You need the ability to fix the robots that are doing it, or to program the robots that are doing it. So we have to take our core of our education, because education started in this country to make productive workers. That was the whole goal. We have to make productive citizens.
So do we have to, let's say at a higher administrative level, parent level, change what we call, you know, we evaluate high schools on, they had, you know, this is SAT scores or ACT scores, and that's how we looked at a high school. This X number of students went to college. So do we have to also change what we call a success or a successful high school, or when they're doing, how we look at how they're doing their job well?
Well, I think you're hitting on something that's very important. When you judge the success of anyone off of one day, one time, one test, mm-hmm. there's two huge problems with that. The mm-hmm. first is, it could be the toughest day in my life, and it was just an off day for me, and I didn't do well. The second is, I know how to do the dog and pony show, so I can tempt that one day and fool everybody there and make them think I'm actually better than I am. Mm-hmm. A constant understanding of growth is important. That's why when you look at some of the schools that are doing the program we're doing are doing like ISO certifications for the industry. Industry standards, I think it's 9,000 right now. Some of them are making sure that everybody has CPR and first aid skills. So we want them to have skills and the ability of being successful in their education. Mm-hmm. The ACT and the SAT, it just, you guys saw the same news stories I saw where they bought scores, right? Mm-hmm. So what's that going to do? Like, those are actively getting canceled by universities as any point. They're returning back to what does their GPA show? What does the feedback from the high school show that they went to? And I think it's important. You know, teachers are the experts. We don't go to the doctor sick, take one test, and then tell the doctor, you diagnosed me wrong because this test says this. We listen to the expert, right? We follow what our doctor tells us to do. Right. Teachers are the same way. They're going to tell you. They're going to give you the advice you need and help you get to that pathway. Mm-hmm. We need to put that faith back in our teachers.
All right. So lots of changes coming up. Is there anything that we left out? I mean, because we're going to have you back on the show.
Definitely. We should just do this once a month. It'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. And not to mention, we got a big game tomorrow.
Huge game. Yep.
Talk a little football. Yes.
Yep. So we're playing in Greenville against East Lansing. The last time we played this game was last year in 9 inches of snow. I remember it. I was standing there freezing, but we won. It was great. Got us to Ford Field, and that we're going to repeat this year. We're going to get back to Ford Field this year. But there are a couple of things that I want to make you guys aware. Like, I am trying to set up a regular system where I am in either a business or a place in each of the different neighborhoods, and I would probably do it like once a month. I'm trying to think of a catchy name for it. It could be like Meeting with Matt, mm-hmm. right? Where I'm just there and I'm approachable so people can come in, sit down, have a cup of coffee or whatever, and just talk. And I want to get in the neighborhoods to where people are and do it at different times during the days across the neighborhoods. So that's something that hopefully in the new year, I'm going to be able to get that going. I want to keep going with you guys too, as much as you guys will tolerate me. And then Thanksgiving is Thursday. And I don't know, you guys know Corinne, right? Corinne Rose?
Yes.
Corinne's Cakes and Catering. So she is giving out a free Thanksgiving meal to whoever needs it. No questions. Just show up at her place at 95 West Broadway on Thursday between 12 and 2. If you go online, you can see there's a posting on her Facebook page and things like that. We've sent messages out, emails and everything, because if you're not mobile, if you need a ride, there's a way to request somebody to come pick you up. If you're homebound, there's a way to request that a meal gets actually delivered to you. She just about had me crying the other day because, you know, our mission kind of fell on hard times, and I don't know if they organized their annual Thanksgiving the way that they used to. And for somebody in the community to just step up like this, it is unbelievable. And so many people have come to her aid and helped out both with donations and time and things like that. It's huge. It's huge for our community. And that's what we need more of. We need more of everyone taking care of everyone.
Okay. Speaking of taking care of each other, you got to talk about them. You got 2 minutes to talk about this one.
Okay.
The Big Reds have been fortunate to go to Ford Field. And now, and me as a coach, knowing being able to go to state six times is remarkable. How important it is for people to realize that to get to Ford Field is tough, and not everybody does it, but we get there and people go nuts because we lose, but they don't understand how hard it is to maintain that success in the environment that we are in.
Correct.
But yet it still happens.
So I can explain this to people in under 2 minutes, and it's with a story about me. I have been in education for 27 years. Probably 20 of those years I've been an administrator, either involved at a secondary level or a district level. The first time I went to Fort Field was 2019, the year I came here. That's the first time as an educator ever in my life that where I worked actually went to Fort Field. The first time I ever went to the finals with basketball was working here. This doesn't happen. It happens very rarely. And to consistently do that, it speaks volumes about what you're doing with these kids every single year, year in and year out, and the character that you're putting in them, and the time and the energy that our coaches and our athletic department are doing, and all of the staff that works with them. And I sit there and I look around when I was at Ford Field last year. I looked around and did I want to win? Heck yeah, I wanted to win. I wanted to get that championship. But you know what? There was only two teams playing that day, and we were one of them. Mm-hmm. That's huge. You can't undercut that. We're not going to win them all. And sometimes defeat is part of winning.
Right.
Because if you win everything, the victory starts to lose its sweetness, right? Mm-hmm. So I have a complete confidence in our coaches, in our athletic department. And I know they are constantly doing what is best for our kids. Sometimes, you know, we stumble. That happens. Mm-hmm. I've been to Ford Field now 4 out of my 5 years here. I've been to Ford Field with that football team. Mm-hmm. Never been there before that. That was the first time ever I was in Ford Field Stadium, let alone standing on the sidelines trying to help motivate our boys.
Right.
So
we say go Big Reds. Yes. Matthew Cortez, thank you so much. We're going to have you on in a couple of weeks. You take care. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. You guys enjoy.
All right. All right, Pastor Burns, you know, every week it's something, but we just keep on going.
Yes. Yeah, we press through. Hopefully I'm not still having those same problems, but we press through. We keep going. So apologize for the feedback folks were getting. But hey, it's a big weekend. Football, we want to wish the Big Reds the best. You know, we do this show from week to week, man, and we're heading into Thanksgiving. I'm grateful, man, just exciting hearing things about the high school. So we talked earlier, man, so many Thanksgiving dinners and coat giveaways. I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful for where I am in life and my family, and I'll never want to understate that. I'm just truly grateful.
Truly grateful again to family, friends, to you, to everybody that lets us get this message out. We want to say, listen, co-giveaway tomorrow. If you need information, call 727-5007 and they give you the information about the co-giveaway. Turkey giveaway, Peck Street. If you need information, again, call 231-727-5007. Full dinner giveaway, no questions asked. We want you to show up. I'll be there passing out things. Look, I want to say this. You know, even on tight times, there's something that you can always be thankful for. Let's this next week be just be thankful and also be mindful, because there's somebody that is not blessed and you can go sow a seed in their life. So please, people, go spend time with family. Stop making excuses about whatever. Let's get together and be thankful. Listen, it's 3:00. I appreciate you, brother. I'll see you next in 2 weeks, because we'll be off next week. We love you guys. Take care. God bless.
God bless.